You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4 again. Hebrews chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Again, looking to you, thank you that we could be always in your presence on your day. Thank you. Deal with the weather, deal with the people, deal with the sickness, deal with all the things that are going on. And our God, help us that we'd be looking to you, that in the middle of everything going on, God, to be able to walk in the light as thou art in the light. And our God, we're going to thank you very much for thy word, thy work, thy grace. Give us an understanding heart, and our Father will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And I remember in our study, Hebrews is talking about a unique relationship that we're to have to God in Christ and because of Christ. And that neat relationship is to be exercised and enjoyed. That's to know God. That's the whole point. That's why you sit here, to know God. It's about nothing else. It's not a social, it's not a meeting place. It's a place to assemble in God's word to know God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and then Israel as a nation did not exercise a relationship to God that gave him all, that gave them all the benefits. They just didn't do it. They didn't rest. And we share together in that rest, which is what is now emphasized in verse 4, what they failed to do, which God in Christ provided. He provided it, but they did not access it. They did not enjoy it. That's the issue. So Hebrews chapter 4 is about that which they didn't exercise, which they didn't enjoy, and that's his rest. And we shared that in chapter 4, verse 1, as you're reading, to enter into his rest. And as you go down all the way through verse 11, you have rest, his, all the rest of the rest are his rest. Does that come out right? They're all his rest. So it's not about anything of us. It's all about God. God is giving rest. What is rest? A unique relationship to God based on, as we shared, in Genesis and chapter 2, 1 through 3, he rested on the seventh day, which has no evening, no morning, no night, no day. It stops. Rest. And that's the word, the Greek word used in Genesis 2, 2, is the same word used here in Hebrews, to rest. And that rest has to do, the word rest, to stop, cease. And you put a little word in front of it, it means to stop. S-T-O-P, as we shared last time. Stop. Don't go any further. Really, just stop. Okay, you got that part. And that's the word that's used all through here. Now, there's another word, rest. And you don't want to mix them up. Over, if I can, over in your Bible, Mark. Mark in chapter 6. And another word. And Mark, you're somewhere. There you are. Mark chapter 6. And picking up, you'll pick it up in, remember they're going to take John the Baptist's head And therefore, the disciples are all upset, understandably, because Herod is going to take John's head. He does. So the disciples are concerned. So when we come to verse 29, 6 and 29, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. That's John the Baptist. After they did that, verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught, and God and gathered up all things and told them. Verse 31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and R-E-S-T, rest a while, for there are many, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, not so much as to eat. They couldn't even stop and eat. They couldn't do that. So God told them to come and rest. That's the same verb, rest, only a little word in front of it means rest again, to rest again, to rest, to come. And it has to do with restorative rest. In other words, you're very, very tired, and you need to rest because you're tired. You don't stay, you rest, and then you get up again and go to work or whatever you're doing. You rest, that's the word, to rest, to recover, to the word refreshment, recovery, restorative, that's the word. Now, and you're familiar with it over in Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 11, as you would guess, and you will note, you'll pick up that same word we're looking at, rest, to be refreshed, be restored. Verse 28, 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, a refreshment, a restorer. To restore, yet you're all weary and going down the corridor of time, and you need to rest. You need to find rest to recover, a recovery, a restorative character, to get rest again. That's what you need. And that's what he wants. He said, come unto me and to get refreshed, to get rest, to get rejuvenated. And how are you going to do that? In verse 29, take my yoke upon you. My yoke, remember the yoke ties the oxen together. They're together. The person, the believing heart, is connected to God in Christ. And learn, get your experience. Let there be experience is the word, to experience something. To learn it by experience. It isn't something distant, immaterial. You're related to it. It's something you experience. You understand it. It's part of you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get your learning from me. For reason, I am meek and lowly in heart. So the yoke isn't a bad yoke, verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, back up to verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And when you take my yoke upon you, you're going to find what? In the end of verse 29, you shall find rest. That's the same as in verse 28. Restorative rest. Rest. You're going to be restored. You're going to find a refreshment in resting. So come unto me and rest. You've got to come and rest. And if you don't come, do you get rest? That's the question. I'm going to read verse 28 again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy, and I'll give you rest. What happens if I don't come? I don't have to come. I don't have to give you standing. I don't have to come. God is here, I'm here, so it is. I don't have to have a relationship to God that way. I don't have to do that. Therefore, I don't have rest. I don't have any rest. I'm in the presence of God who gives rest, but I don't have any because I didn't come. I didn't come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Now, so having said that, keeping that, that's that word rest. It isn't the same as in Hebrews 4, but that's the rest. You want to keep distinction. And that word we're looking at, to rest, to find refreshment, etc., you'll see it stand out for you. Go with me over to Revelation. And Revelation, if I can, chapter 4. And picking up in verse 8, we're looking at that little word rest to see it in action. Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings above about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested, there's your little word, N-O-T. They rested not day and night. They never had a break. What they did before God was endless. No break, no rest, no refresh, no restore. You don't need to be restored. And in heaven, no rest. You don't get tired. We call it tired because we get tired. But it isn't. There's no rest without any interruption. Without any interruption. Over to see it again. Chapter 14. And in chapter 14, you'll catch it. A little different, though. It was one thing for the believers in heaven. That's another thing for unbelievers that aren't in heaven. Verse 11. And this, I'll read verse 10 for context. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have, no rest day or night. So there's no rest needed for the angels that are healthy, but for the unsaved, they never have rest. They never find a break. They never find a period that you could take a vacation to be restored, to be refreshed. Verse 11 again, the middle of the verse. They have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Verse 13. And I heard the voice of from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest. Rest, there's the word. They're going to be able to rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. They're going to be able to rest, to be restored, to be refreshed, a permanent, most wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and remember what we shared together in Psalm 95. Back over there for a moment. Psalm 95 is what God is quoting in Hebrews chapter 4. And you will note, please, in Psalm 95, picking up in verses, but go down to verse 11, you'll pick up. Unto whom, I'll read verse 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is the people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. They're not going to know it. They're never going to know. And Israel didn't. Israel didn't. And if you were unsaved back then, and you die unsaved, you will never know rest. You'll never know it. You'll never know it, ever. Wow. That's sobering, isn't it? Wow. Hang on. It's good. It helps us to the realities. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and we shared together last time in Psalm 23, remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and he leadeth me beside what kind of waters? Still waters. And the word still, S-T-I-L-L, is the word rest. Rest, rest, waters of rest. They're quiet, tranquil waters. Tranquil, quiet, like in pond or sometime in parts of the ocean. Very quiet, seemingly quiet, quiet, restful. He leadeth me. So God, you offer them a wonderful, wonderful rest if they would but take it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, rest, and as you keep mind in rest, remember God rested on the seventh day. So, and you don't want to, we're talking all this rest. What are we talking about? Genesis chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. God rested on the seventh day from everything he did. It is back into your picture again. The artist doesn't have to complete the picture. It's already completely in his head. All he needs to do is put it on the canvas. It isn't going to be added to because the artist has it. It's finished. He rested. He rested on the seventh day. 6 days, he did everything on the canvas to start it. And it was all, verse 31, chapter 1, it was all very good. Everything was just like it should be. And he stopped and rested. No morning, no evening, no night, no day. Rested all over. Finished. Finished. Stop. And what's all the rest that we did, all of those things in all kinds of different ways, to remind you what? God reminded the people in all kinds of ways that they were to enter into that rest. And he shared the rest in many ways as we shared them last time. So all the different ways of rest to understand God has finished something wonderful and he's outworking it on the canvas. It isn't something new or different or improvised, needed like an encyclopedia needs to be updated. No. No, it's finished. What is God saying to Israel? Old Testament, Hebrews 4, to the believer, I want you to enter into my rest. What I've got in mind, what I'm going to do, hang on to that. That will help you in the morning if the Lord tarries. Because I tried to do that for you. What did I title it for you? Oh, yeah. Having a time of it. I thought that would be that this is the right kind of thing. Having a time. What do we do when we're having such a time? Wow. Now, so having said that, in God's wonderful grace, God made a promise, and God's going to keep his promise of rest in a most wonderful way. And we shared in Matthew 11, to come unto me. If you don't come, you don't rest. That's all. And that's what it's about. It isn't about trying to go and fix the world. You aren't going to fix the world. You can only thank God that he fixed your heart when you got saved. How did he fix your heart? He condemned and crucified it and gave you a whole new life in himself. In himself, not in yourself, because that's all death. In himself. He did that. God did that. He He has a wonderful plan. That's the rest. God has a wonderful plan. He's going to outwork it in your life, in all of the system, in all of creation, angels included. All of it is to be outworked. And he rested. What does God try to encourage the believing heart that will look to God and trust him do? To look to God and understand he has a wonderful plan and purpose for your existence. And it's all finished. All you've got to do is outwork it. And that's what you're doing. We walk by how? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith. Not by what we see, plan, dream, wish, our family, our friends, no. Because, and I shared that the other day with Jeanette or something, the reason you go to church is because you're a believer. What's the believer doing? It isn't that you're coming. Why are we coming? To get with God. And when you have such an appointment, when you have such an occasion, what would keep you from it? Make believe you got 25 children, understandably the burden, 25 children, and having to do everything. You would not try to overcome every single thing you could think of to get there, wouldn't you? That's what you do. That's what church should be, coming to God. So we overcome every stupid, dumb thing we think and feel and want and wish. So going to God. What do people need to see? God. They don't need to see any of my programs or any of my whatever. They don't do that. No, they need to see God. That's what they need to see. They need to find God. And that's what we try to trying to keep that in front of us. Why? Because without that, all we've got is a big group of people that are religious doing something. That's all we got. We got the music, and we can have the Bible, we got everything, but no God. No God. In and out. Oh, there's a God somewhere. No. We're to know God. This is what we're doing in John 17:3. Eternal life is what? To know God. Eternal life isn't a feeling. It isn't something you put in your pocket. It isn't something like your heart beats. No, it's a person. It's God. To know him. Now, so having said that, that would then help us. Go over with me, please, to the Gospel of John. And let's exercise again. And have to exercise so that otherwise we don't get anywhere. So John and chapter 9. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 9. You know it, he's the shepherd of the sheep, chapter 10. May I go to verse 9 directly? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, simple thing, you could read that and understand Christ is the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I am the way there. I'm the door. What happens on verse 9, look at it. You're going to find pasture. Remember, he leadeth me beside still waters, etc. He restoreth my soul. I'm in verdant green pastures. Wow. Now, so when we go through the door, what are we going to find? Pasture. What are sheep going to find? They're going to find everything they need on the other side of the door. What happens if you don't go through the door? It's a pasture there, but you got a what? You got to go through the door. What you got to do? But what happens if I don't go through the door? I know there's a door. It's wonderful. I don't go through it. Then I never have it. I'm a believer, but I never Am I learning to rest? No, because I didn't come. Am I understanding the pasture? No, because I don't go through the door. I don't exercise the relationship to God's person in a personal way to make it a personal benefit. How can you have the personal benefit if you don't have a personal relationship? I don't know. And that's the trouble with the system we got. And very, very few, unfortunately, don't enjoy that. They don't exercise it. They don't even want to understand it. Let me do it again a little different way. Over to Ephesians, if I can. Ephesians in chapter 6. And you will note, you're familiar with it, in Ephesians 6 on the battlefield, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And that's what we have to do. Verse 11, Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the treachery, the strategy, maneuvering, management of the devil. So we're going to have to do that. Because if we don't do it with the armor of God to protect us, when it comes to verse 12, we're unprotected. For we wrestle. We can't put on the armor of a Roman soldier from head to toe. If we put that armor on, we're great. But the trouble is, the enemy isn't in front of us, the flesh and blood, that we can hit, see, understand. It's a spiritual enemy. So the armor and the thickness of the armament and the shield and the sword are no good. What good's a 20-gallon, 10-gallon shotgun or something? Gallon. That's a lot. If it shoots 10 gallons, it's a lot. Now, in the process, what good's it? You can't do any good. How do you hit it? How do you reason with it? You don't. You can't do it because it's against flesh and blood. And you need the armor of God. The armor of God covers us, protects us. Who's the armor belong to? The armor belongs to God. Who does the armor that the Roman soldiers used? It belonged to Rome. And when you joined the military, whatever, they gave you all the equipment, etc. So God, coming to know you, what are we going to do? Well, our battle, verse 12, we wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And our battle is there, an awesome battle. Now, in the word wrestle has to do with struggling, like in wrestling, that's struggling. We can't struggle like that in our wrestling. Now, interesting, just for the sake of the believing heart, notice in verse 12, where we wrestle, and I'm going to take out a word out of wrestle, R-E-S-T. I took our rest. Where did I find rest? In the middle of the wrestling. I found rest in the middle of the wrestling. That's where I found it. And now what do I know about the rest of God? Just putting it into practice for us. John 16:33. Be of good cheer, I have what? Overcome the world. You have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome. Resting. Hebrews, Genesis chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. He rested. Everything on the painting, the picture, was done. It just needed to be put on the canvas. That's all. It's being outworked. What is the believing heart to do? To rest in the finished design, the plan of God. Thus, if we walk by faith, what are we doing? We're walking with God, who's outworking his plan. Do I have to understand every step? No, I just need to walk with God. As long as I'm walking with God, I'm in God's will. Putting that together, you know, obviously. Drive it home. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is doing what? Cleansing us from all sin. So we aren't trying to solve all the problems of life. No, or people. No, I'm trying to go with God. And I only can take one step at a time in the light, trusting God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, he died on the cross to take all my sin in one hour, as it were, on Calvary's cross and pay the penalty. God did that for us, so that we're able to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we're resting. What are we? We're resting. Did God win? Does God have a plan? Can the devil come along and destroy? Verse 10, can his wiles trick us and cause us to miss out, to not come unto me to get rest? I don't come. You don't go through the door. You didn't go through the door. Sure, that can happen. But you have to be saved, 1 Corinthians 3, as by fire. Because you can't be unsaved. Why? Because God would lose. God can't do that. He isn't a loser. And besides, we didn't contribute anything anyway. We were all dead in sins. Which person ever came along and helped God? They don't help God. We're all dead. God's alive, we're dead. So therefore, just to put it into practice, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, back, and so the rest of God, I say it all this, but the rest means God has finished it all. He just has to put it on canvas. He just has to work out each detail, each life, each nation, Media, Persia, Rome, Greece, each thing has to be worked out on the canvas. The Antichrist has to all be worked out on the canvas. The believer is walking with God, who's working all things out. That's what they're doing. And as they walk with God, he's working. So what are we doing? Nothing except believing and understanding. So when I want to show that understanding, I don't show that understanding without God. How am I going to show it to anybody? How am I going to help anybody? I can't. Over to 1 Timothy, I think. May not be 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4. And watch it in verse 16, 4 and 16. Take heed unto whom? Yourself. So it's talking to us. And unto the doctrine, that's the word of God to be believed. This unto the doctrine, continue in them, taking heed, paying attention to our own heart and life as we walk in the light, and the doctrine, what God's word is, and understanding it and practicing it, doing this, for in doing this, at the end of verse 16, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And you aren't going to help anyone that doesn't want to hear. People don't want to do what they do. How they do it. And I understand it from a human standpoint, because it's part of our world. We have to care about eating and drinking and family and friends and enemies and politics and everything. It's part of our world. God saved us out, Galatians 1:4. Saved us out of this present world, even though John 17, we're still in it. But therefore, I understand that. I don't want to let all of that that surrounds my life, cares, remember we did it in Matthew 13, the cares of this world, they surround me. Family, friends, I got to do it. I got to do it. I don't want that to cause me to get sidetracked looking at all those things that never end. They never end, and they're never fixed. When you did everything possible to help somebody, when you did everything possible to help them, and you did, and you talked to them, you read to them, you did everything, if that which you're trying to do is to get them to hang on, to hold on, to rest in God's saving grace, if they aren't doing that, when you're all done with all your efforts and everything, and 10, 20 years go by, where are they? Aren't they the same? What's changed with God? Nothing. Nothing. But we tried to help them. That's it. We spent a lot of energy, but you didn't do anything because it didn't get to the heart. Only God can get to the heart, and we don't want people to get to the heart, so we don't. And that's why it's so hard in the end of the age. And the end of the age is showing up in our society as we move into Marxism, socialism, and all that stuff coming up. But it's just there. And the world wants it. The world's pursuing it. Our country's pursuing it. Too big a percentage. 51%, I can't believe that. But maybe it's true. Wow. So that's where it is. I don't want to lose the journey. We walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm only can help the people that can hear. If they don't want to hear, they're going to do what they're going to do. I understand. You understand. We do it ourselves. We do it. And we lose out. We lose out. And instead of being an example to those people, how are we going to do it? We're seeking God. We aren't getting caught up in trying to answer the system of education and everything else. We're looking to God. That's what they need to see. Where are we going to find the answers? With God. Not within, not, and I understand math and reading and writing and arithmetic and all of those wonderful things. But that doesn't save you, that doesn't do a thing. And actually without getting sidetracked anymore, sidetracked, we think of it as being insane. And without getting into that, we did it once sometime, yesterday or something, and the process being insane. The only sane person is God. Everything that isn't right and perfect is insane, is not right. So we've got to line up with sanity. Where is sanity? With God. God's Word. So we're trusting God. We're not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting God. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, back over, if you would, to Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 4, remember, we looked at and have been looking at verse 1. Let us therefore, in the light of verse 19 of chapter 3, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us, therefore, in the light of their failure, let it not be our failure. Let us, therefore, fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, miss the mark. You fail to hit the target. You don't run far enough. In the Olympic Games, they would use the word. The guy that you're in the race, but you're way behind. You aren't up to where you need to be, to fall short, to come short of the glory of God, etc. Now, Having said that, to come short, verse 2, talking now, reason, the cause, explanation of verse 1. Verse 1, to come short, explanation. Verse 2, 4, unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. They came short. They didn't listen. They didn't believe. The preached did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It was not mixed with faith with them that heard it. It did not profit them. It did not help them at all. So the reason, it was not good. Verse 2. Not mixed faith in them that heard it. So, it did not do them any good. It didn't help their being. It wasn't mixed with faith. That was the trouble. To mix with faith has to do, the word mix has to do to mix together, to mix two things, to unite two things, unite them. I think of something, I don't know why it popped in my head. You are familiar with the eggnog, New Year's eggnog, whatever. And you take the milk, whatever you're doing, and you pour the egg. You put the egg in, you know, and make an eggnog. And so when it's all done, it's an eggnog. It's mixed, brought together, mixed together. That's the word. It's mixed together. Mixed faith isn't mixed with what they did. Their heart and what God has said, they didn't mix it together. It wasn't blended. It wasn't brought together as it should be. So what do we know? Without faith, it's impossible to what? To please him. For he that cometh to God, but must believe that he is. That's what you must believe. So in order to have that in God's wonderful grace, you must believe that he is a master. So now here's faith, and faith preached did not profit them, for faith was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. They didn't mix what God said with their faith, like the eggnog, to bring it together in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so they had to mix it. Now, and the illustration that can be used, we've used it, and remember the cow, a cow goes, and the cows sit and eat grass, and then they go and have, you know, they're full of whatever, maybe. They go and sit down, and they see them chewing, and they're chewing. And they got this two stomachs or whatever it is, and they take all this grass and stuff it down like in a hay mound, and down inside of them, a big pile of grass, and then they sit down and bring it up and chew it, mix it, and then it goes down, that they digest the grass. And so there is the mastication, the saliva is mixed for us, and we take the food. The food's wonderful, but it has to be mixed in order for us to have life, physical life. So the food has to be masticated, saliva, mix it. And when we mix it with the saliva, that's what you're chewing. You mix it all up there with the saliva. And then you bring it down into the digest system, and the hydrochloric acid and all of that down there. You bring that down, and it works and makes a soup, a thick soup, you know, all of that it does down there. And I think if I remember right, all that stuff. And then the opening into your small intestine is, I forgot, a fraction of a second, keeps doing that. Only lets a little bit into your small intestine. So you don't have to flood the intestine. It just goes down. And now, what else is there? Then there's the absorption in the small intestine. And that's where your pancreas gland comes in. And the pancreas gland juice from that digest in the small intestine. That's what gland does, pancreas gland. But some of that hydrochloric acid can get through the stomach and the food into your small intestine. You don't want the hydrochloric acid in your small intestine. You don't want that. It's all right in your stomach, because your stomach's lined, if I understand it right, to protect it. But, now God, only God, wonderful. Now what do we know? Well, here comes the small intestine, here's the pancreas. And what does the pancreas do? It adds, I don't know how it does it, sodium bicarbonate into the small intestine to neutralize the hydrochloric acid so the acid doesn't do anything. Now, how come my pancreas on the back of my stomach and back, that's where yours is, I think, unless they moved it. And you got that. And so here it is, and my pancreas, that's what all those different parts. Bicarbonate of salt. Do you understand what that is? I mean, I haven't even started that. My mind is blown away with your little DNA that makes everything, all the different parts of your body. It makes a hand, makes an eye. God, you're awesome. I haven't even gone anywhere. He's awesome. It has to be mixed with faith, or you can't absorb it. Otherwise, it goes right through small intestine, big intestine, and whoop, out it goes. And you didn't get anything from it. You didn't get anything from it. So, wow. So having said that, it has to be mixed with faith, and you have to believe it. Say it simply. You got to believe and practice it, and you'll enjoy it. That's what you want to do, enjoy what God's doing in you. And not for friends, family, enemy, whatever, government or whatever. No, God saves whosoever's. He looks up and down the land, Chronicles, trying to find somebody that would seek him with all their heart. And he finds somebody. They find somebody over here. Here's 25 people. Here's David's family, Jesse with 7 sons. And he found one son, David. That's what he did. He took a David. We don't hear anything about the rest of those guys. What about the rest of you guys? We never hear about them. We just hear about what God found somebody. God found a person, a believing heart. And that's what I need to be, you need to be, to enjoy it. And therefore we go in the light of that, mixed with faith. Verse 3, For we which have believed do enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, in the notice, as you're reading that, if you go up to verse 2, up, excuse me, verse 1, just to make a difference here. In verse 1, you'll notice that I'll read it, the last part of it. Any of you should seem to come short of it. The writer is missing. He's saying, you guys. The writer isn't missing it. The penman isn't missing it. The people that need to get it. And he says, you guys need to do this. Now, verse 3. For we, the pronoun, we go from you to verse 3, to we which have believed. The writer is a believer. He's believing in the rest. The rest of them aren't believing in the rest. They need to awaken and believe in the rest that God gives them in a wonderful, wonderful way. And God, I have sworn in my wrath. So God gives them an awesome, awesome rest. Which, though unbelievers, although unbelief was there and robs them, verse 3, although in the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Before, remember back we said the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? The picture is painted, isn't on canvas. There are no angels, there are no planets, nothing out there. Just God in his magnificence What else? Only God, you know what was there, is there. So God, you do that in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way to enjoy and exercise that truth. So the works were finished. So God, we haven't even got planet Earth yet, but God said, it's all done. I want you to rest in what I plan, what I've already finished. Can I change what is there? No. God already knows. And he lets it, that's what it's going to be. So and so, Esau will not believe. Jacob will believe. God knows. They're all there. Pharaoh will not believe. Moses and Aaron will believe. They believe. God has it all done. It is most, and everyone had the choice, everyone had the right to do what they did the best way they could. And so therefore in verse 4, we have an explanation now. And in verse 4 through 11, there's just four sentences, actually. And verse 4 and 5 is one sentence. And verse 6 and 7 is a second sentence. Verse 8 and 9 is the third sentence. Verse 10 and 11 is the fourth sentence. Not that you care about that in particular. Now, having said that, verse 4. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So he's refreshing, going back to Psalm 95, verse 11, etc., and to Genesis chapter 2. He's going back and telling, where is all of this information? God, did you ever say these things? Make believe we're one of those reading and listening to the book of Hebrews back then and even now. Well, we aren't there. But God said, back then, what I'm writing to you, saying to you now, was said way back then. All was finished way back then, and now it's just always been there. You just never use it. You never exercise. God didn't keep changing his plan. He has a plan. He isn't going to change it. Did you ever hear people say, well, I want God's second will for my life? God, you want the best? The best is good. Well, I'll have second best. Now, my question to you is, with God, is there a second best? That's what I'm asking you. God has his tissue. This is you. And God has you before you were ever created, before you even existed. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And the world is all created. Now, when does God, in his mind and heart, he created you. When does he change? When do you change, I should say? When do you change? Does he have a second and third? A best? No. No? You either are in or out. You either believe or you don't. You're either saved or you're not. There is no second best. No matter how we goof our life up and foul up family, friends, and everything, no matter what we do, this stays the same. So God, wow, I need to get to this. How am I going to get to this? Back to God. I'm going to work out a second best. This failed, a second best. How are you going to work it out? There's only this, and you're out here doing all these things. You got to get back to God for this. No? What's it going to do?